This book is dedicated to all the kids who have ever felt alone. You are not alone. You are somebody, and you are loved. Chapter 1. Prologue. The soccer game was tied 3-3, and the two teams were engaged in a shootout to determine the winner. "Tank!" Coach Newton yelled, turning toward the bench. "I think Coach is calling your name," said a teammate sitting next to me on the bench. "Oh no, are you sure?" Coach had said this couldn't happen. A sudden silence went over the crowd as I glanced back toward the soccer field. My mind was racing, trying to figure out exactly what I was going to do. Not now, not in a game like this. I hadn't played a single second in a soccer game, ever. The magnitude of the game caused me to scrutinize the field and my opponent ever so carefully. Our goalie, Chris Smith, was doubled up in pain, holding his ankle. In the intensity of the game, I hadn't stopped to think of the ramifications when Chris went down. Obviously, he had severely injured his ankle on the last play. "Tank, you're up!" Coach yelled again. I stood up. I knew I had to go in, but I had never expected to play in the championship game. I didn't want to play, which might sound odd to those champing at the bit to play. I was only on the team because I had made a promise, and Tank Armstrong always kept his promise. But now? Now, I was expected to go into the game and help my home team, the Golden Tornadoes, with their first regional soccer championship. The hopes of our entire town rested solely on my shoulders. My attempt to jog onto the field felt more like I was staggering. I was trying my best to hide my anxiety and lack of confidence. My whole life had been spent making sure other people saw me as a good athlete. After all, I was large and slightly overweight for my age. My size was what had originally drawn me to the football field. Coaches loved my size, and my teammates loved running the football behind me. Being big and quick were two great characteristics to have on the football field. At only 13 years old, I had already played 4 years of organized football. I was a captain and one of the best players in the area. Only now, I wasn't on the football field. At least, not my definition of a football field. None of that mattered now. The only matter of importance was doing my best to help my teammates win. My knees started to shake, and my hands were getting wet with sweat as I took my place in front of the large net. Why couldn't I have been a forward or a fullback? Why did I have to be a goalie? I thought to myself. Goalie is the one position on the field where a person couldn't possibly hide. The goalie could make a game-saving play or be the reason why his team lost a match. I could feel the weight of everyone staring at me. I glanced back over my shoulder and saw all my football buddies with their mouths hanging wide open. Not one single person had expected me to play today. "Tank, you got this!" I recognized a familiar voice with a distinctive Spanish accent. I looked back at the field, surprised to see Marco smiling at me.
"I believe in you," he encouraged.
I smiled at him, trying to reflect his confidence. In truth, I had only been on the team for a week. In spite of an occasional gym class, soccer remained a weird new sport to me. The only thing on my mind at that moment was that the 8x24-foot soccer net no longer looked big. In fact, it felt like it was closing in around me. I looked around one more time at the large crowd and my teammates. Instead of being outside, standing in a huge soccer goal, I felt like I was trapped, caught in a small room, with the walls slowly closing in around me. Chapter 2. Growing up in Union City, Tennessee has been a great experience. The population of 11,000 people or so has always seemed like just enough and not too many. Another element I love about Union City is its diversity. My city is home to many different ethnic groups, and everyone seems to get along and treat each other with respect. Even though I had never lived anywhere else, I am still certain Union City is an awesome place to call home. The town received its name in 1852 from General George Biggs because of the two railroads that connected in the settlement. The Northwestern Railroad out of Kentucky and the Alabama-Ohio Railroad shared a